I need to apologize to Kyle.
Now, back to a Monster Monday with Steinie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty. It's a Monster Monday. We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers, who moved to 2-0 with a 17-11 win against the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday in Philadelphia. Let me ask you guys this. 17-3, the Eagles score. Shoot, I have the time here. I want to say there's about, what's the time of that score? 6 minutes-ish? I had it written down on one of my sheets. The Eagles score to make it 17-9.
I believe they did that with 3:58 left.
Okay, so 3:58 left. You make it 17-9. Anybody else surprised by the two-point call by Sirianni?
I was blown away, Dibs. What math is that? Why would you ruin a moment to get within a touchdown, and then if you get that said touchdown, then you go for two and you win the game? But why stain the euphoria of getting a touchdown by missing a two-point conversion? I know you're still down eight, but I just don't get it why people are so rushed these days.
Well, Blind Melon had a song called No Stain, and there's no stain. There was no stain because they got the two. Now, convention,
right,
especially at home, is you score, you kick the PAT, you score again, you kick the PAT, you go to overtime, but Sirianni does things by the beat of a different drummer based on that fourth and goal call where he goes Philly special, which was a fail. And then, yeah, you go for two. It was odd, and it created the second ever 17-11 game in NFL history.
Can we get the pin out the cap, Steinie? Come on. Pay homage to Tom Landry and the greats. He got the pin on his little hat. Dude, this ain't grade school. Grow up. Come on.
Were you a Matt Patricia fan?
No, and you see how that worked out. Yeah, dunce.
Pencil in the ear. He's only
one
of two. Yeah, I guess. So John Wick used the pencil in his ear?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, Simon, you're doing a great job.
Pen. Go ahead. Inform me.
John Wick is an action star who's famous for killing people with a pencil.
Oh. Huh. That sounds like a barrel of laughs. That show.
Keanu Reeves.
Should have called him John Lead, actually. Would have been
might have been a part two to that. John Wick. Yeah.
John Ticonderoga.
So Matt Patricia and a former assistant program director.
John
here.
Bick, not Wick.
Only, you guys are doing your own show. I'm going to head out
yes.
of here.
I'm going to go home.
Got the black shirts, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till you see John Wick number two.
Let me know when you guys want to. It's an update on 49er injuries. You want to talk
now?
It's actually called. It's John Wick 2: The Scantron Years is what it's called. Because if you ever used a 2.5 pencil on that Scantron, but you tell me the Scantron's not going to pick up the pencil if I use a 2.5? Hit the pike, teacher. Anyway, I'm done.
I
think we've reached the end of our candle.
Steinie, I'm lost.
The wick is gone.
Yeah.
Guru, you want to hear some injury updates?
Go ahead, because
right.
I'm lost.
All right, 49er injury updates coming at you. Do we have a bed for this, or do I just
Let me get a pin.
All right, I'm just going to do it. Trey Sermon, obviously, he's in concussion protocol. Elijah Mitchell, shoulder, day-to-day. Okay, I like that. Jamichael Hasty. High ankle sprain. He's going to be out a while. Javon Kinlaw, knee. He's same as last week. Eric Armstead, hip. He's same as last week. Josh Norman's got an ankle. He's day-to-day. Kevin Givens, high ankle sprain. He's out for a while. And Emmanuel Mosley, knee. The hope is he'll return this week. So there are your injuries. Nah. Yeah.
And Josh Norman has two ankles, Steinie.
They're fine. Yeah.
Well, call Green Bay and say, you know what, Green Bay, don't come because we don't want to play you. We want to rest a week. We give up.
The chances are they're going to probably say, no, we're going to come and play you because that's what the schedule dictates.
Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is right. It is a Sunday night
game. Yeah, Hasty with the high ankle out a while. Big. That, and to me, is the worst. Of all the ones you mentioned, Steiny, and you mentioned eight different names, Sermon concussion protocol, I think that's a bad one. I would say, man, if I had to guess, he'll miss at least two games. We might not see him until after the bye, based on how bad I thought that looked. Mitchell's shoulder, hopefully he's able to go. Jamichael Hasty, high ankle, yikes. That's a scary one for a running back. A high ankle, that might cost him 6 to 8. I mean, they haven't put him on IR. Hopefully they don't have to. Kinlaw, he played. And, you know, the Kinlaw and Armstead, fine. They play. Josh Norman, he looked okay. Givens, they've got depth. If Mosley could come back, that would make a lot of this go away.
And he's missed both games, guys, Mosley.
Yeah, they're 2-0. Yeah. 2-0, San Francisco 49ers. Good
that
start.
They are, my friend.
Okay, injury reports gets crossed out. How about, should we do a little lock of the day? Lock of the week?
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Strock.
Be a lady tonight.
God, I miss Don Strock more than I miss some of my family members. Guru's Lock of the Day is brought to you by BetQL. Looking for sports betting content? The BetQL Network is now available on all of your devices and at BetQLNetwork.com. This is wagertainment with content that keeps both casual and hardcore bettors engaged. Get sports betting tips from the biggest names in the industry. The BetQL Network is streaming now on Odyssey. Let's take a look at the locks of the week from Friday. Remember, we're giving a lock of the week from that Sunday in the NFL. Steiny, we'll start with you. You had the Steelers -5.5. They lose outright to the Raiders 26-17. You rode the Steelers in week one. It worked out for you. You rode them in week two. It didn't. Are you going to ride with them in week three, or are you thinking about moving off the Steelers when we do Lock of the Week on Friday?
Well, let me tell you what's really happening here, Kyle, is I'm getting overwhelmed among Lock of the Day, our fantasy football league, mad props. It's just too much gambling. So what I've done is I'm simplifying it all, and I just really have been concentrating on the mad props, where we have a scoreboard. So Lock of the Day, yeah, I guess I got it wrong, but it's just too much to keep straight for me, guys.
Good excuse. All right. Guru.
That's good honesty.
Yeah,
good
I
honesty.
Like that. No, it's good.
I wonder if this has anything to do with me having Aaron Rodgers going tonight and he's nursing a 10-point lead. Wow. Oh,
I think what it has to do with is the fact
about fantasy again.
Yeah, he's leading mad props, so by proxy, that's what he's concentrating
okay.
on,
help
thereby letting you know that the thing I'm doing well in is the only thing I care about. This other crap where I'm failing, I'm barely paying attention.
For what it's worth, outside of our BetQL experts that we have on, between the three of you, Steiny is also winning Lock of the Week. Guru, you had the Chiefs -3.5 against the Ravens. Guru, I thought you had that one. When they were sitting there at 35-24, we've seen that movie before. The Chiefs closed that game. What happened?
2 weeks in a row, and I had the Niners 41-17 with 3 minutes left. Those are two heartbreak losses, guy. Seriously.
That's brutal. Two really
a hotel.
I don't know what Mahomes is doing on the 3rd and 12 pick where he's getting sacked. Just take the sack and punt it away.
They better get some defense.
Oh, man, yeah. They got to figure it out. And Dibs,
looked like Jameis Winston on that throw.
Oh boy.
Speaking of wits,
thank God goodness nobody took the Saints. Oh my goodness. He completes 14 passes and it's like, oh, Jameis Winston's back. Anyways, Dibs, you gave out this pick on Liquidate All Assets.
Sadly.
You rode with
another
it
winner?
Here as well. No, this one was
lost
not
by a
winner.
Half point.
Yeah, the Bengals, you had them +2.
They did not
win it. Andy Dalton goes down, and I think that's what was the backbreaker for you, is that Andy Dalton was not in the game to give the ball back to the Bengals so they could go down and score.
I was banking on the pick six, and you know, Justin Fields is so good, they've already announced that Andy Dalton will start in week three as long as he has a pulse. So that's all you need to know.
He's a rookie.
Did you hear how that happened?
No.
Matt Nagy refused to answer the question. After his presser, a Bears PR person comes in and says, "Coach wants you to know that if Andy Dalton's healthy, he's going to start next week."
Oh. I love it.
That away, Matt.
I love it.
And then Quentin Mayer, our BetQL expert, who joins us every Friday at 1:20. He gives his lock of the week. He rode with the Cowboys plus 150 on the money line, and they came through for him. The experts, Quentin Mayo and Ryan Horvath, are 2-0. Steiny's 1-1. Guru and Dibs, you guys still got to bounce back 0-2.
Yeah, it's rough. But, you know, I'm not even really worried about the lock of the day. I'm focused more on, well, let's see, I'm not in first in anything. So I'm really just trying to break down the Niner game as good as I can, Kyle.
So I'm looking at our fantasy football league, the Steiny Guru Dibs, and it looks like I'm going to go down. Looks like I'm going to lose. I have 125 points. Guru's got 116, and he's got Aaron Rodgers.
Could get hurt.
But yep. 125 I have. So let's go to the next game. Dibber Claus is sitting on 100 points. So he's got one player left. Team Crew, 121. Tri-City Laboratory's got 95 points. Strock and Oz sitting at 100. Mile High Club, 58 points. Like, you know what?
Welcome
We're making
fantasy.
Strides. My team is making strides. No, it's one of the highest scoring teams this week. Looks like I'm going to run into a hot opponent. And unlike Guru, I can tip my hat to the other team. It's not always what's wrong with my team and how can I denigrate and criticize my team.
Wow. That's all.
Uh-huh. And then if we can just wrap up the bit here with our lock of the day. Dibs, it's on to you, Dibs.
All right.
Let's go, Dibs.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many different ways to go. Normally, I would lean on the Premier League, but we don't have Monday action, and I'm not down with the UEFA, the World Cup qualifying. So I'm going to stick with the main action tonight and let you know that the pick is in.
There we go.
Man, I look at the spread for tonight, Detroit at Green Bay, and I know Jared Goff has struggled mightily, but I am not bought into the Packers to where I want to give 11.5. So I'm going to take the Detroit Lions. This is what we call a clothespin pick. It's a hold-your-nose special. I'm hoping that Detroit, you don't have to win, guys. You don't even have to be close. Just don't embarrass yourselves. Two rules. Don't embarrass us. Don't embarrass the family. I'm taking the Lions plus 11.5.
Wow.
It's a hold-your-nose special, Goose. Yeah. They could be down. I see him being down 31-14 and just some, oh, by the way, Garbaggio special. You know, a touchdown with 41 seconds left. 31-21 your final. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. A little back dough.
And Spadone knows that you said, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourselves. You also don't want to embarrass the boat. And you might say, well, what's he talking about? And below deck. Usually the crew will go out on like the Friday or Saturday night, and they really get after it in between voyages. And, you know, the captain always says, don't embarrass the boat.
Don't embarrass Captain Lee either.
No.
Very serious man.
Yeah.
I like Captain Lee. Would you want to talk to that guy?
I like Captain Lee, though. He's
definitely
fair.
Oh, yeah.
Very fair.
Fair.
Tough, but fair.
He is tough.
Absolutely.
He is
tough.
As
Kate. She's, oh, man.
Kate Chastain?
Yeah, she's very, she scares me.
In a good way, though.
You're speaking your language.
On the fence, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that show. All the good characters are gone now.
Well, we're in Below Deck Mediterranean right now, Below Deck Med. When we get back to the, the other water, the other ocean.
I've been watching real quick. Nobody cares. Billions. Oh my god.
Oh, look at you, Goo. How far are you into Billions?
Dude, I'm in season 1, episode 8. This is great directing and acting, Steiny. I'm juiced.
Yeah, it's congrats, Goo. I'm glad you're on board. The other one that I would recommend would be Succession.
I'm already on that. I'm waiting on season 3. Yeah.
And just one more TV sidelight. The Emmys last night. You got to be kidding me. If you have a category and 4 of the 6 nominees are from the same show, you're not even trying anymore. And I know that I haven't seen Ted Lasso, but every category was like the entire cast of Ted Lasso. Is that the only show that we're watching Emmys? It's an embarrassment.
You know what, Dibs? I'm sour on award shows for the most part.
I'm with you. I used to watch
this. used to watch the Tonys. I used to be a song and dance man, but
man.
Even that nowadays, it's just not doing it for me.
What I'm into now, Steiny, is when I watch these award shows, I watch them knowing that I haven't seen 94% of the content. So it's a way for me to like watch the show, watch the award show, and it's like, oh, wow, I know that actress. Maybe I'll check that show out. It's a promotional vehicle. But when you have all the nominees from the same show, I already am going to watch Ted Lasso. Show me something else I might be interested in.
I like the red carpet. I do.
Back to the night.
I love the red carpet. Hey, by the way, a piece of news involving a former San Francisco 49er. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have reached out to Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman.
Wow.
Bruce Arians sniffing around. So maybe Richard Sherman hasn't played his last game. We'll find out. All right, here we go. I want to go around to the five of us here if Kyle's around. Who was the 49ers MVP yesterday? Who was their most valuable player? Dibs.
Okay.
Start us out.
Man, it's a tough question, but I'm going to say Fred Warner. What Fred Warner was able to do on the defensive side of the ball, running, finishing tackles, keeping everyone where they needed to be. You could say Nick Bosa, and I get that. And, you know, defensively, it was a team effort, but I thought Fred Warner, as the quarterback of the defense, deserves all the credit.
Goo?
Yeah, and I hate to get corny, but I want to give it to Kyle Shanahan. I don't know if that's allowed, but it's about the players, and I'm going with Bosa. Warner was a badass, but I'm going with Bosa, man. He's a factor, and he's relentless, and I think he set the tone, and I'm going with 97.
Yeah, I got to go with the quarterback.
While I don't disagree with Lowe that
Jimmy Garoppolo did not win that football game for the Niners, he's right. He didn't, but a quarterback like that can lose you a game, and he didn't lose him a game, and I thought he was solid. He didn't turn it over, led two long scoring drives. Jimmy Garoppolo, my player of the game. Spadone, I don't even know if you know.
I watched the highlights. Okay. I'm going to go Juwan Jennings, first catch, first touchdown for the rookie.
All right, that works. Yeah. That works.
Okay. I have two. I feel like we have to bring up Deebo Samuel, though. Six catches, 93 yards, third most yards ever for a 49ers receiver through two games. He's leading the NFL in receiving right now. Three of his catches went for first downs, including a big first down, a third down conversion on the 49ers' first scoring drive. He had the big 40-yard pickup on their scoring drive to help put him in the red zone that helped lead to that Juwan Jennings touchdown. So I got to give it to Deebo with honorary mention for Jimmy Ward, who was really good defensively as well.
All right. There you have it.
Let me ask you, Steiny, real quick, do you feel better about this Niner receiving core? I know that was an area of concern, and they're kind of, Debo's doing this without no diss to anybody, but no Ayuk or no help. He's just getting off. Do you feel like he's a number one?
Not really, no. I mean, he's the 49ers' number one, and he's off to a great start. And I think when he's healthy, he's pretty darn good. I think we know that. So he's got to be healthy all year, and this has to be kind of the rule rather than the exception. Now, I'm not expecting him to catch balls for 1,800 yards over the course of a season, but he's the 49ers' number one. Their receiving core as a whole, I'm still worried about. I'm still worried about, tell you the truth.
I'm waiting on Ayuk, Dibs. I know one target. Something's off, and I listened to you guys, me and Pops, Friday, Steiny, you and JD, and you said you think by week three the dust would have settled for Ayuk, and it's not a big deal in the quote-unquote doghouse. Dibs, I just don't like one target for the talent that I saw last year. When does that fix itself?
It fixes itself when you need to throw the ball and you really need to engage offensively in throwing it down the field. Because if you look at what the distro was yesterday, Deebo had six catches. And then next up, a running back with four. A tight end had four. So that right there is 14 of your 22 completions and only one wide receiver involved. Then it's Jennings with two, Juszczyk and Mitchell, Shurfield one, Ayuk won. So total catches for the wide receivers not named Deebo, there was only four catches outside of the six that Deebo got. So the game was really more about the screen game, which is why Jennings had a couple. That's why Hasty had four, including three big ones on the touchdown drive. Juszczyk got a couple of catches. Mitchell as well. I think the game plan was not about finding the wide receivers that much. So the fact that Ayuk got just what? He got the two targets. Sanu got one. Sherfield three. And Jennings had two. So that's eight targets to wide receivers not named Debo for the whole game.
Wow.
And Ayuk, too, Dibs, that first target, he was open deep on the right side, and Garoppolo just overthrew him. Yeah, if he completes that, all of a sudden Ayuk has two catches for, let's call it 57 yards.
Man.
And, wow, hey, Brandon Ayuk's back. But he got overthrown. So I'm with you. I'm buying any Brandon Ayuk stock that someone wants to sell.
Two balls outside.
Just thought he was a little faster. Could have gotten under that one. That's all. Like Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, even Rieger. All those young guys make those plays, I think. By the way, my guy Rieger. That would have given me a little cushion. You know, they don't call him out of bounds there, Goo.
He don't got Ron Jaworski throwing them the rock either, Stoddy. So I ain't hating on Hurts, but... Yeah, he ain't your prototypical quarterback, but I'll say this, guys, I'm being honest. When they completed that 91-yard pass attempt while he was running, I was like, they're going to lose this game. I really thought it was going to be – I was like, this ain't happening. But they D'd up and balled up, but I was like, this is ugly. Yeah.
And Rager's got to have better route discipline because he wasn't exactly forced out. He just drifted out, and he stepped out twice. That was reckless, very careless.
Had I known he was a reckless player, I wouldn't have had him in my fantasy league this week. I could have used it. Really could have used it. Hey, real quick, just touching on the San Francisco Giants for a minute. Wow, we haven't talked any baseball today. Three games played over the weekend. Dodgers go 2-1. Giants go 2-1. 12 games left. And they're exactly where they were on Friday. One game in back of the Dodgers. And I know it's about the Giants, and the Giants are having a great year. I tell you what, Dodgers are tough. They are tough.
They're World Series champs, though, Steinies. You know what I mean?
Not according to some Giants fans. They got the asterisk thing going because it was only 60-game season.
Well, they don't know baseball then. But that Friday night, Solano down to two strikes, Dibs, that was magical. And put this in the cap, and I'm going to let you go, Dibs. It's going 163. We are going to see 163. That's just, I said it, not feel it.
It's in the cap, and by let me go, that means let me speak or let me go home, because I'd love to take the last 12 minutes off.
Oh, that hurts.
I'd like you to talk for 12 straight minutes.
Well, in that case, Steiny, let's play the schedule game with the Giants and the Dodgers.
Harry Carey.
Both teams with 12 left, 6 home, 6 away. They both have today off. They both have next Monday off. So the scoreboard watching is going to be incredible. That Friday night game, Goo, is probably the game of the year. Although this year's been so cool that you have like 10 different candidates for game of the year. But two outs, two strikes, Donnie barrels again, hooks it down the line. This game is tied. And Kevin Gausman with the sack fly in the 11th. I mean, what the hell are we doing with Gausman pinch hitting? Oh, I get it. Sorry, Cap. I'll put that in a cap. Turns out Gabe Kapler, what did the spreadsheet say? Gausman's got a 14% chance of hitting a sack fly here, and he hits a sack fly.
What about the 3-run bomb to give up the lead? That was Steiny. I'm like, what happened? And I was like, gone. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the game we're going to look back. And Solano with two strikes.
Well, let me put the rat on the table, fourth rat. That could, because that exposed the real problem with this team winning the whole thing.
Wow, man.
Is, you know, the closer. And I know McGee was out. And, man, you know, Rodgers has been great. They both have been great. This is not to say that they aren't good pitchers, but you don't have that, you know, he's coming in closer on your team.
Right, right. And,
man,
I mean, but I always feel like when you talk about baseball, I mean, what's going to do in the Giants? Whatever's going to do in the Giants if they get done in is going to be something that we're going to be like, oh, we saw it coming. Because it's always it's the two relievers at the back end. Maybe they're not going to get it going. Oh, guess what? They might go on a home run drought in the postseason. That may get him. Brandon Crawford may make an error in the postseason. Heaven forbid he's been in. By the way, he's been unbelievable.
Flashing the leather.
I mean, he is. I mean, I get it. I guess Ozzie Smith is untouchable, but some of these plays Crawford is making are just he's automatic when he goes deep in the hole and he's got a cannon. He has saved these guys. I mean, just in the last week, I think he's made about 8 plays that have been incredible. He should be getting some MVP consideration, definitely. I think, anyway.
He's getting some consideration, quote-unquote. He'll end up in the top 10, I believe. I don't think he'll make it in the top 5, but, you know, the sexy stats are what people are going to look at. If you don't watch the guy play every inning like we do, and he's so incredible, especially defensively, and he's had a great offensive year, but you look around baseball, and there's 4 or 5 guys who are having huge years in the National League, and they're going to get more votes than he is.
Isn't it funny how life and sports will reveal itself? We talked all week long about the Padres, and something just doesn't seem right. I know we're not in Diego Steinie, and lo and behold, Spadoni on the thread sends us the blow-up in the dugout of all people, Manny Machado trying to be Martin Luther King talking to Tatis. But to me, I'm like, the Padres are finished. When you got that infighting going, for whatever it was, I'm like, it's that's just bad juju.
Yeah, remember that's what they said about the Yankees when Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson got into that fist fight in the dugout around midseason. Of course, the Yankees came back to win it all, so you never know. Maybe it's the fire. Maybe it's a fire.
Oh, you say it'd go the other way. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I look at their situation. They're 2.5 back with 13 to go, and they're in 4th place in the second wild card race. They got to pass Philly, Cincinnati, and St. Louis. And by the way, they're going to have to beat a Giant team that's still playing for a lot. So they're not facing a lot of laydown opponents.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. We still got Rich. Squeeze. Rich is gone. Okay. What do you think about tonight's game? Packers against the Lions. I'll tell you what, if this is a, you know, Packers coming in here next week on a short week, I'll tell you what, we're going to come in here tomorrow and say, here's what I think we're going to say. 49ers have fish next Sunday night.
Right.
Packers are, I think they're going to show tonight that they're really not together.
I just can't believe you and the masses, and I'm the king of overreaction, but I know Aaron, it was a bad look what he did all offseason, but I don't feel like at one juncture, guys, he dissed his teammates. It was bigger than his teammates. It was him and the org. But tonight is just redemption city, Dibs, and that's why I'm surprised you went with Detroit. But I just feel like we're going to get a 40-burger from Green Bay to basically tell everybody what Aaron said in his post-game presser. It was one game, but there were alarming things. But I would never think a guy of his stature would not be emotionally invested in it. I mean, they are, what does Shaq say, barbecue chicken. I'm predicting 40-7 tonight, and we need that because you want Green Bay to come in on their horse so the Niner game can be something. So if they beat the Packers, it'll be, oh, that was a good win. Not the Packers are lost.
Every game is something. There's only 272 of these in the course of a year, so every game is, quote, something. And man, I don't see 40-7. I think the Packers defense is vulnerable. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a high scoring affair. Green Bay should be highly motivated to not play for their season. That's too dramatic, but certainly play better than they did in the opener. But I'm not sold on Aaron Rodgers and this offense. I think the Lions could hang in there. That's why I took the Lions in the 11.5.
11.5 is a lot.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot.
It sounds like a lot, but you're
especially,
right. Yeah.
Especially against a team that lost by 30 in week one. But we'll end up seeing. Hey, you know, here's the one thing. And this has come over the text line, and we had a few callers allude to it. George Kittle with only, 4 catches, 17 yards. How do you know whether, because I hear a lot of, hey, Kyle Shanahan, this is ridiculous. He's not getting Kittle the ball. Only 4 pass catches. Well, how do you know if it's Shanahan not getting Kittle the ball or Kittle's not getting open? How do you know which is which?
Wow, that hurts me, Stoddy, because you know Kittle's badass, and he's playing with a quarterback that's just average. And he's playing with the same quarterback that missed Kittle wide open in that Super Bowl from the first to the fourth, all the way through. So when I think of Jimmy and somebody talks about his tight end and his lack of stats, as fair or foul as this is, that's on Jimmy. No. That's the quarterback's best friend, and it's on him to get Kittle the rock. Dibs, there's no way Kittle's not being open. My two cents.
It's not on him to get anybody anything. It's on him to win the football game. And that's what's on him. Kyle Shanahan's job, he has one job. Win football games. End of job requirement.
That's all.
Now, how you go about doing that, Kyle, that's what separates you from the herd. If it's going to be dink and dunk, and we're running Elijah Mitchell until he can't run anymore, and we're going to, you know, punt the ball, and we're going to let our defense do it, good. Do that. Maybe against Green Bay next week, they come out, and the game plan shows you that, okay, we're going to have Jimmy G throw it 45 times. You beat Green Bay 51-48. Okay, great. Your defense was bad, but your job is to win football games. So your job is not to make sure that Brandon Ayuk feels okay and that George Kittle fantasy owners get their yah-yahs on. His job is to win the game. And yesterday I thought was a masterclass in Kyle Shanahan realizing what the defense was giving him, which wasn't much, but as Lowe told us earlier, Lunch with Lowe every Monday, 12:15, it was outside. It was a wide stretch. That's where the yards were to be had, and that's where he took advantage of it. Not down the field, not up the gut, but out wide.
Yeah.
Let me just add this to that. Dibs, I hear you. But just what producer Kyle said. So our guy, Ayuk, gets one catch, Steiny, one target, one catch. But imagine he did his job on those routes. I know quarterbacks, all of them, miss throws. But when you're missing guys that wide open, you don't think Ayuk this morning or this afternoon saying, damn, hey, how'd you do, son? Well, I only got one catch, but I was wide open on another that would have been a, what, 30, 35 yard? I mean, to me, that matters, Dibs. So when you call a good play, you just trust your quarterback's going to slice the defense and then the stats. I know you don't play for stats, but when you're wide open, that's why you look at Kittle and it looks like to the average bear who didn't watch the game, he didn't do anything. But a lot of times the game within the game is guys are open, but the quarterback's missing them, Steiny.
Yeah, okay. Okay, he had eight incompletions the whole game. Eight, all right. And that's the other thing. Every receiver and every tight end says they're open all the freaking time. Like the nature of wide receivers are, I don't get the ball enough. I don't get the ball enough. It's like, and like, since when did we start playing the? He had somebody wide open that he didn't see, but he completed it on the other side of the field. You know what I mean? Like, that used to never be talked about because it was impossible to see. Yes, Kyle.
The other thing worth noting is, like, with George Kittle specifically, go watch the Juwan Jennings touchdown. George Kittle runs a route that cuts in. Juwan Jennings runs a route that cuts out. When Kittle cuts in, three Eagles defenders collapse on him, leaving Juwan Jennings wide open. Garoppolo hits him. It's a touchdown. So I think it's also the way defenses defend because they don't want George Kittle to get the ball. They want the Juwan Jenningses and the Trent Sherfields to beat them.
Makes sense.
What if I said this to you two? If the Niners are going to go far and deep, Kittle's got to be a part of the passing game. And I know that's not going to happen all 17, Dibs and Steiny, but it's like wrestling. You got to impose your will. So when this thing is up and running and clicking, we're going to see 85 getting catches.
Yeah, and then I just hope we don't complain about the wide receivers not getting catches then. Because somebody always doesn't get catches, especially for a run-heavy football team. I mean, this fantasy mentality must end. It must end, Dibs. It's like, you know, not everybody throws five touchdown passes a game. I mean, the 49ers play differently than most teams. We've got to get that through our fat heads.
And coaches don't care about who we think should quote unquote, be getting the targets. They look at the defense, and yesterday is a great example. And you look at how you're going to beat this team. And Kyle with a great breakdown of the first touchdown where Kittle cuts in and he draws three defenders. That's genius football by Shanahan. It's called being a decoy. And apologies to all the Kittle owners, but in that case, the best play call is to send Kittle as a decoy and then get the no-name that nobody has on their roster open. And you look around football, and there's a bunch of those guys who score touchdowns because most defenses think like the Eagles did. I want to stop their big key threat and then let someone else beat them or beat us, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it's simple, Goo. George Kittle, keep your mouth shut and try to get open for one time. And then maybe we'll see if we can find you some catches. George Kittle spent a lot of time yesterday blocking. That's for darn sure. And I'm just kidding about Kittle, everybody. Michael Irvin, DRK, coming up at 3 o'clock, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.